Hey, New Life Church, welcome back. Hey, I just want to say Happy New Year. I hope you brought in the new year with great excitement, great expectation for what God is going to do in our lives, what he's going to do in our church, and what he's going to do in 2021. So, hey, I just want to say hello to all of you that are at home or away. Thanks for tuning in. It means the world to us, and that you are continue to be connected with your church even when you are away. We're believing for great things in 2021. We're believing that God has just set us up for what he wants to accomplish in our city, the greater Kokomo area, and what's going to take place. So I hope that you're ready, you're along for the ride, and we're going to be bringing in the new year with great anticipation for what God is going to do. Well, last week, we started a little mini-series called Trouble and Triumph. Trouble and Triumph. And this year, it has certainly brought on, this past year has certainly brought on some trouble for people. Yet to some, it was a year of triumph. And most can relate to experiencing even a bit of both trouble and triumph. This makes for quite the emotional roller coaster, doesn't it? When you're experiencing ups and downs, twists and turns, how can you remain stable? How can you remain calm? How can you keep your peace, having been thrown around and upside down and tossed side to side by the things that this past year put us through? How can you not get ill on a ride like that? How can you not get offended or hurt by a year like that? Or on the contrary, how do people keep from getting proud and arrogant when they experience triumphs in their life? So last week we looked at the life of King David. In 2 Samuel, there was a record of when King David was being overthrown by his son Absalom. And what's really neat is we see the story that David is experiencing. But then in the book of Psalm, we can see the personal thoughts and feelings that David had at the exact same time. And so essentially, we looked at a time when David was in trouble, and we looked at his response to trouble in Psalm. And today, we're actually going to continue on looking at the life of David, this time not when he was in trouble, but this time when he was in triumph. That when David wins, do we see a different response from him? Because here's the thing I know, that sometimes when you find yourself in trouble, it forces you to rely more on God. But the moment you begin to experience a little bit of triumph, a little bit of victory in your life, you become really proud of yourself. And all of a sudden, when in trouble you prioritize relationship with God, when you're in trouble you prioritize getting into church and you prioritize a relationship with God, all of a sudden in triumph you get really proud of yourself. And then the priority on the relationship with God begins to go to the side because you're just experiencing and loving the triumph that you have. So what does David do? What does David do after all the trouble he had and when he finally gets to experience this type of triumph? Well, before becoming king, David really served the king of Israel at the time. He wasn't himself the king. There was another guy that was king of Israel, and his name was Saul. So King Saul was the one that David faithfully served, even though Saul was incredibly jealous of David, to the point that it angered Saul that David was gifted, David was liked, and it really frustrated Saul. The people of Israel even chanted a song, and it was a well-known little song that went around town, and it went something like this: Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain tens of thousands. This little chant really frustrated King Saul, and it only stirred up his anger and hatred towards David. From time to time, when they would be sitting around a table, maybe enjoying a meal, this anger and jealousy would rise up in Saul, and Saul would reach for his spear, and he would throw his spear at David, trying to pin him to the wall. Every time, David had to learn more and more how to get really, really good at dodging spears. But David also never picked up the spear to throw it back. Eventually, David would have to flee and run for his own life because Saul was in quick chase on his way to try to destroy David. This happened on several occasions. Several occasions, David was Saul's target practice when he would throw spears. Regularly, David would have to flee and hide in caves to escape the wrath of King Saul, a king gone mad. Saul was out for blood, and only David's blood would satisfy. But God had already said that David would be king, and not even Saul would be able to stop what God had said and what God had intended. So David lived a very troublesome life. He had faced all kinds of trouble. Last week we talked about his trouble with Absalom, and he had all of this trouble with King Saul. He had to hide in caves. He had to run. He was always having to look over his shoulder. Can you imagine? The life that David lived was one of just distress, fearing for his life, but all the while putting his hope in God in times of trouble. Well, we're about to reach a part of David's story where he actually gets delivered and free from all of his enemies. Remember last week we said, we read David's lyrics. He says, "How many are my foes," right? Well, here we're going to see that David gets free and delivered from all of his enemies, and he gets to get a little taste, finally, of triumph. How does David respond to triumph? Well, let's look at 2 Samuel chapter 22. This is what it says. It says, "David sang to the Lord the words of this song when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul." So the day David was finally free, the day David finally got to taste triumph, what did David do? He did what he always did. David took up his instrument and he began to sing a song. This too is recorded in Psalm chapter 18. We get to see the lyrics in the words that David wrote after experiencing this kind of freedom, this kind of triumph. So let's take a look. Psalm chapter 18, verse 1. Look at the first thing he says. He says, "I love you, Lord," right? Have you ever experienced some type of victory in your life and you just say, "Oh God, I love you, I love you, I love you." And so this is going to have a totally different tone to it than David did when we looked at him last week. Last week it was very cold, it was very dark. It was like, "Oh Lord, you're my shield, you're my security," right? This is, he's rejoicing, he's saying, "I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress. He's my deliverer. He's my God. He's my rock, in whom I take my refuge, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord, and he is worthy of praise. And I have been saved from my enemies." He is pumped. He is rejoicing. He's finally been delivered. And this is some of us, this has been our response at the turn of the new year. We're saying, "Yes, thank you, Jesus. We're still standing on our feet. We made it through 2020. It's a brand new year. You have saved me from all my enemies." Let's see, he goes on in the fourth verse here. He's kind of now reflecting back on the troubles he has had now that he has been delivered from his enemies. He says, "The cords of death, man, they entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me." He's saying, "Lord, I remember I had to stare death right in the eyes, right in the eyes. And in my distress, I called to the Lord. All I did, I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before his ears." Here's what we can see in David's response to triumph. He's reflecting back to his trouble. He's not proud. He's saying, God, I love you. I love serving you. You were my rock. Before we got to read when David was saying, God, you're my rock right now. I'm in the middle of this hard time. You're my rock. You're my shield. You're my shelter. You are my supporter. You are my security. And now he's saying, yeah, you really were my rock in those times of trouble. You really were. And when I cried out to you, you heard me. And so whether you are in trouble or triumph right now as you start this new year, it doesn't matter. You can call out to God, and it always goes right into his ears. He hears the cry of his people. He hears the cry of you when you're in trouble. The lyric continues, 18 verse 16. He says, he reached down. This is David. He's speaking of God. He's saying, God, he reached down from on high. He took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. Listen, when you face something that's too strong for you, there's only one person you can call upon. Call upon the name of the Lord. He will reach down from on high, rescue you from the deep waters in which you are drowning, and rescue you from a powerful enemy that's far too powerful, too strong for you. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. The Lord was my support. Can you hear the rejoicing in David's voice? He's saying, oh, I have triumphed, but it is because God is my rock, and he is just reflecting upon how secure of a God he is. When you call upon him, he hears you. When you're in distress, he comes and rescues you. But now watch what he says in verse 20. He says, the Lord has dealt with me according to my righteousness. The Lord has dealt with me according to my righteousness. Righteousness, it just means like right living or to be upright. You do what is right because according to the cleanliness of my hands, he has rewarded me, for I have kept the ways of the Lord. I'm not guilty of turning from God. So David recognizes something. And I think it's important for us to note this as well. He recognizes that when he faced all the trouble he did, when Saul tried to use him as target practice for his spear throwing, when Saul released armies upon David to track him down like a dog in order to bring back his dead body, yet he would escape to caves and he lived in obscurity. Even then, David never turned against Saul, and he never turned from the Lord. He's recognizing, now that he's tasting triumph, he's saying, oh, maybe God dealt with me according to my integrity. Because when every time Saul threw a spear, David never throws it back. There was even one time when David was hiding in a cave because Saul was right on his tail. Him and his armies were tracking him down, and he was surely going to die. And then all of a sudden, from inside of this cave where they are hidden, Saul appears in the entrance. And King Saul has no idea that David and his men are hidden in this cave. Saul just went to the cave to relieve himself. And so David sneaks up on Saul, and he could have killed him. But instead, it says he cut the corner of his robe and then distanced himself again. And when Saul was done relieving himself and he left, David came out and he showed him, I could have killed you, but I didn't. In other words, this battle between us, Saul, it doesn't have to be this way. I've got nothing but honor for you. I don't want to kill you. This is just one example of how David would choose to live righteously. And he's recognizing that when you live a life of righteousness, even in trouble, you will be rewarded. And so I say like this, righteous living, it leads to a life of reward. Righteous living leads to a life of reward. And so when you follow God's way, he will honor you, he will look out for you, he will reward you. So all you have to do is protect your integrity. and protect your connection with God. Because two things remain the same. Whether you are in trouble or you're in triumph, two things remain the same. Your love for God and your love for people. Those two things should never be shaken. So the way out of trouble, if you're in trouble, you've got residual trouble from last year, whatever it may be, if you're in trouble, the way out of trouble and toward triumph is righteous living. It is a life of integrity. Integrity is doing the right thing even when nobody is looking. Honor God, honor others. God will honor you. Scripture says God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Scripture goes on in the same way. He continues in this lyric in the book of Psalm along this same thought. He says to the faithful, God, you show yourself faithful. To the blameless, God, you show yourself blameless. And to the pure, you show yourself pure. But watch this, don't stop there. But to the devious, you show yourself shrewd. And God showed himself shrewd to the enemies of David. You save the humble, but you bring low those whose eyes are haughty, or, in other words, whose eyes are full of pride. So even in trouble, choose humility. Even when someone has wronged you, used you as target practice, choose humility, choose honor, because righteous living is the way out of trouble, and it leads to not just this world's reward, God's reward. If you want the world's reward, fight the way the world would fight. But if you want God's reward, choose humility and honor, and you will receive the reward of God. So the lyric continues in verse 42. David here, he kind of for a second begins to sound like he's getting that little taste of triumph, getting a little taste of like, man, this went really well. I'm super proud of myself. And he says, I beat them as fine as windblown dust. That sounds like something like maybe a granddad would say, you know, like that's a good little one-liner. He said, I beat them as fine as windblown dust. I trampled them like mud in the streets. You have delivered me from the attacks of the people. You have made me the head of nations. People I did not even know serve me. Foreigners cower before me. As soon as they hear of me, they obey me. And so right here we see that David, you know, he's feeling really good. He's feeling the triumph right now. But before you think he's gone too far, before you think he's a little too proud of himself, watch what he says next. He says, the Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be my God, my Savior. He is the God who avenges me. He didn't avenge. David recognizes it wasn't him. He is the God who avenges me, who subdues nations under me, who saves me from my enemies. You exalted me above my foes. It was God. All along it was God, and it was you. From a violent man, Saul, you have rescued me. David realizes in his triumph, it was God. It was God. So here's what I would say. Last week we learned that in trouble, cling to God. In triumph, credit it to God. If you're in trouble, cling to God. And when you experience triumph and victory, you've got to give the credit to God. Give him the credit. And it goes well in the last verse here that we have, verse 49. David says, therefore, in other words, because of all of that, because you were my rock, because you were my security, because you delivered me, because my enemies were crushed, because I have triumphed, I will praise you, Lord. Among the nations, I will sing the praises of your name. So I will praise you, Lord, and I will even praise you in front of other people. I will sing the praises of your name. So David shows us. Remember David? David, before he had an audience, when he was still all alone, he grabbed his guitar he sang songs of praise. David, when noticed and brought into the inner circle, he would grab his guitar and sing praise to the king, Jesus. David, in trouble, what did he do? He grabbed his guitar, he sang praise. And here David, experiencing triumph, what does he do? He grabs his guitar and he sings praise to the great name of our God. So I'll leave you with this. Triumph always perpetuates praise to God. Triumph, when you experience victory in your life, it should only perpetuate the praise that you're already singing. You should already be singing and praising in trouble, and in the triumph, it just perpetuates it even more, that our praise would be forevermore. Our praise would be everlasting praise. So whether in trouble or in triumph, whether David be alone or with an audience, David always praised. And we know that David wasn't perfect. We know that David had committed some serious sins and transgressions, but he could return to this heart of praise. And when he tasted triumph, he gave credit to God. And by doing so, it just fueled his heart of praise. So today, for all of us today, in trouble, we praise. In triumph, we praise. When we're alone, we praise. When we have an audience, we praise. Although the year may have left us really shaken up, we praise. And as we begin a new year, we praise. Let us pray. God, we praise you, for you are the God in our trouble, and you are the God of our triumph. God, we praise you for this past year that we had. We thank you that, God, I pray that it drew us closer to you and being dependent more upon you. And now, God, we praise you going into this new year. God, we praise you for what you are about to do. God, we praise you for the triumph that we have had over last year going into this one. And God, we praise you in every storm. We praise you in every situation. God, we praise you with great singing and song, that no matter what, we will praise. May it perpetuate a praise in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Hey, New Life Church, thank you so much for joining us today. If this is your first time joining us and you'd like to learn a little bit more about New Life Church, you can text the word CONNECT to the number 765-347-9127. If you're a regular New Lifer and you'd like to continue your worship through giving, there are three different ways you can give. You can give on our website, newlifeforkokomo.org. You can mail your giving to the church. The address is 1803 East Vale Avenue, Kokomo, Indiana, 46901. Or you can text New Life for Kokomo to the number 77977. Again, thank you so much for joining us, and we hope to see you guys next time.